For those of you who don't know me, my name is Don Demsak. I'm Microsoft MVP. I'm on a data platform, so I am biased towards those guys. I'm a member of Aneta Speakers Bureau. I'm the CTO of a little company called Pelago. We actually have a product coming out in this space, in the solo space, in the governance and repository registry space. We had a whole session on configuration. We kind of make that all go away. Side effect of getting rid of all the configuration and putting it into a repository is you get monitoring support, you get testing support, you get a lot of governance capabilities that you can't get right now. But that's a different story. DonXML.com is my site, and you can get me at Pelago. We already had this big thing about developers for Wendy. The only reason I put it back in here is because I know people are recording it. If you happen to see it before this date, please donate. Wendy is a developer in the community, and she is a friend of ours. Also, I saw a couple comments online. If you're looking for a WCF book, fortunately, we don't have any of these here. A friend of mine, Pablo Sobrero, and he's also works with me at Pelago. He's the CTO of our Argentine team. He has a book called Professional WCF 4.0. I highly recommend it. We've got the ads out of the way. WCF, it's all about complexity. It's all about options. It's all about unification. You want to be have one way to do all these things. Take Azimex, take server remoting, take enterprise services, WYSI, you know, what we call WYSI messaging. Put it all together, and it's one happy family to do all these different things. That sounds great. It's also about interop. So if you want to actually be able to talk outside the Windows, outside .NET, actually, this actually works very well if you want to talk out to, you know, some legacy COM or whatever. It's also about standards, security, reliability, transactions, get SOAP and all that. That's great. Miguel went over the ABCs, address binding and contract. Very important things to know when you're building WCF. The big thing that's always been missing out of this, and Miguel kind of said it a couple times, is I'm all about messaging. I'm all about everybody remembering that whenever you're doing any of this sort of stuff, it's all about sending messages over the wire. It's not about remote procedure calling. And it makes a big difference on how you write your code. Unfortunately, there are a lot of people out there promoting WCF as just keep your programming habits the same way that they are. It's just like calling a method on an object. It's not. It's sending a message to another endpoint and it doing something with it. And so that's part of the reason why I always bug Miguel about implementing a message class, because it makes the developer remember that what they are doing is sending messages. So WCF was all about options, and options are great. I'd love to have these three cars as different vehicles I could drive every day. Options, that would be a great option. It'd be confusing because I wouldn't know every morning which one I would want to drive, but at least I have options, and that's kind of how I feel with WCF. WCF gives me plenty of options, but man, is it confusing to know every morning which way do I want to go. And that's one of the things that we hear a lot of as WCF consultants is, you know, how to do something. And the good architect, it depends. So which car do I want to drive this morning? It depends. What's the mood I'm in? Other thing that's important is reuse. I think this says it all. The original band was awesome. The little band, square peg, round hole. I mean, it looked like it, and you could kind of sort of make it that way, but it really isn't. And that's my opinion about REST and the REST implementation in WCF, is yes, you can take a WCF service that was built with SOAP in mind and expose it as a RESTful endpoint, but it's sort of like kiss and little kiss. You know, it works, but do you really want to do that? You can get it there, but it's just going to kind of feel kind of faux, kind of artificial, and it kind of makes sense. But that doesn't mean that you shouldn't be doing REST and WCF. There's plenty of other ways to do it. Other issue, configuration. Configuration, when you're doing SOA and you're doing WCF, can be a nightmare. I have clients, we call it SOA hell or configuration hell. We have services calling services who call services who call services. And when one of them goes down, that's not my basement. Thank God that's not my basement. That's Miguel's basement. It was Miguel's basement. She's cleaned it up.
Before the new office.
Before the new office.
.netdude.com. Check it out.
.netdude.com. He says, definitely check it out. But it's configuration hell. And, hey, there's a little Linux guy here, too. Just for a little fun, just to make fun of him. So you got services calling services calling services, and they all have different configurations. They all have different bindings and behaviors. They all have different options for you to do. And options are great, but you can get tied down in all those different options that you have set out there. And like I said, my firm has a product coming out to help with all of this stuff, especially on the WCF side. So you got to ask yourself, do I really need those options? Do I really need that reuse? Do I really need that complexity? Do I have a pattern that I'm trying to follow? If I don't have a pattern, is there a pattern out there that I can follow to make my life easier for me? Do I need, and odds are, yes. But you still want that WCF flexibility, but only when I need it. I want to hide it away, except for when I know I really need that stuff. And that's where Microsoft seems to be going, in my personal opinion, with a lot of this stuff. So RIA services and data services are frameworks built on top of WCF that you can utilize today, go tomorrow, and be able to write an app and get it going. And then when you hit a spot where you need that flexibility, you can jump on under the hood and go to it. But you can get up and going in minutes. So let's do the WCF data service. So I'm asking myself, when I want to expose data over HTTP using open standards, and I don't need these things, as we said, transactions aren't supported, is WCF transaction. I don't need WS security. I don't need any of those options. I don't need the reliable messaging. I don't have to worry about things like MTOM. I don't need those things. Strip them away. Hide them from me. I want REST. REST is simple. It's easy. Developers like simple. That's what we all should. I want to be able to get home and hang out with my family. I don't want to be writing code, writing WCF binding code for stuff I don't need and trying to figure out why this configuration setting I just put in or that my sysadmin put in broke everything. Don't want that. I want it easy. I'm tired of hard. I want it to be interoperable. So I want something like Atom Publishing Protocol. Somebody's already done all the heavy lifting. Figure out how to do this stuff, a pattern that's out there. Atom Publishing Protocol, in simple terms, it just gives structure to collections of data on the web. It's an XML format syntax that just gives a standard way of describing collections of data on the web and how to do regular CRUD operations with them. It also happens to be RESTful. So we're talking HTTP. I wrote an article with my chief architect, Jesus Rodriguez, about lightweight SOA. And one of the things that we were talking about is eliminating the options. When I don't need any other transport protocol other than HTTP, why should I try to abstract all that out and go through all the heartache and issues with that when I know the HTTP is good enough for what I want and actually probably preferable? So we also have this thing called Link. So we had Adam Pub. They have this thing called Link came out, the standard query syntax, but it all happens to be just for .NET. It's great for us .NET developers, sucks for the rest of the world. Sorry. Become a .NET developer. That's then, and that, they're complaining because they're working in late hours and stuff, right? I've been sitting for 2 hours for the all day trying to make fun of you guys. So we have this thing called Link. It's great. We got this thing called Adam Pub. It's great. Let's mix them together. It's kind of sort of what they did with the first versions of what became Data Services, was also known as Astoria. I said, you know, this Adam Pub thing, you know, Google's kind of doing it with GData, but they're missing something. They're missing discoverability. If we did something really cool like create a standard URL syntax for queries, that'd make my stuff really discoverable. That would mean that somebody else could write a link-like protocol, language extensions in Java or JavaScript or whatever, and it could easily convert to this standard URL syntax, then everybody can query my data source. And if we made it simple enough, that'd be great. So that's what they did. So we have our ABCs defined. We have our addresses. We're going to be using your URL because we're RESTful. Got our binding. We want HTTP, transport HTTP. Operations are the HTTP operations. Man, this is getting real simple. For security, we're going to do stuff HTTP-based, which means basic auth or Windows authentication, and that works out of the box with this stuff, or if you want to put in your own extensions, you can do that too. We want our contracts really to be Adam Pub, to kind of loose, but the kind of a contract that's built in there. We can do XML, we can do JSON. We got this big-time bonus, hypertext media. And I'm going to go into that, and there are some things that we do very well in data services right now, and there's some things where I'm trying to influence them to make it even better, to solve a lot of other issues that we have and embrace this hypertext. Because the idea of the web was not that everything was all in one place, but it's all over the place with links to each other. And unfortunately, as developers, we kind of have that siloed mentality. Everything's ours. No, it isn't. The only things that are yours are yours. It's great. It's perfectly fine to have pointers to somebody else's silo. It's great. You should do it. So we have been here before. SQL Server 2000. This is actually how I got started with Microsoft, working with Microsoft. There's this thing called SQL XML annotated schemas. When I saw this, I thought it was the greatest thing since sliced bread. And my wife happens to be a SQL DBA, OLAP DBA. I started talking to her about this. And does anybody remember this? Annotated schemas? The whole idea was you were able to put, not an XML schema, but an XSD schema, up in a web server. And mixed into that schema actually had the SQL tables that were related, those entities were related to. And it had a URL format. You could actually take your query into the URL. The web server would read it. Look at the schema, do the translation to the tables, generate the SQL for you, get the result set, translate it to the XML that match that schema, send it to the browser. That sounds a lot, very similar to what we're doing in data services. So it's been 10 years coming on this type of stuff. That didn't take off. A lot of people weren't ready for it. ORMs hadn't really taken off yet, so there was a lot of negativity to it. And when I showed that to my wife, that was the first thing she said. No DBA in her right mind will ever let this happen. I said, why? I said, because everybody says to use stored procs. I said, but why? Because that's what everybody, that's what Microsoft says. So that's, I put a message up on one of the message boards, and Joshua Allen at Microsoft emailed me back directly and said, we want to talk to you and your wife and find out why you think this way. We're part of the web data team, which is part of the SQL Server team at the time, which became this data platform team division eventually. And we want to talk to you and find out why you what you feel this way. And we started talking, and that's where I started getting engaged with that whole product team. And, you know, there was very valid reasons. Now, 10 years later, we're still trying to get DBAs to change because they don't. I'm married to one, I know. They don't change. I said, so that's a different story. So data sets, don't do this. Data sets over Azimex is one of my biggest pet peeves. You can go to the ASP.NET site right now, and they actually have demo, example code on how to do this. I'll tell you, don't do this. You could. You could do data sets over Azimex, and I've seen plenty of places that did. But the problem is data sets, the serialized format, nobody else understood it. So, Don, what's the difference between data sets over Azimex and what we're doing is that we're using ANAPUB. We're using a standard format that everybody understands, not just what the Microsoft folks understand. Makes a very big difference. So don't do this. If you're doing this right now, email me. I'll show you how to do it and replace your stuff in a couple minutes. It's really not that hard. And then there's plenty of other custom implementations. You have ASP.NET, HTTP modules, and HTTP handlers. Now, I've got a lot of friends that are ASP.NET folks, and they don't want anything to do with WCF. Miguel's an exception. He kind of does both. But the majority of ASP.NET folks that I've run into, they'd rather roll their own. They're comfortable in this world. They don't want to learn the WCF side because it is so, there is so much going on there. And that's cool. I understand. They're missing out on an opportunity. That's fine. They actually use HTTP modulars and handlers very similar to how on WCF we do bindings and behavior. You can insert code into the pipeline to get your stuff done. Same thing that happens over there. The difference is in WCF, I don't have to be hosted in IIS. Everything that these guys are doing all has to be hosted in IIS. To them, that's perfectly fine because that code isn't getting moved anyplace else. And that's cool. Any questions so far? Everybody afraid to get their at the moment? Of course. So, this thing called WCF Data Services, the artist formerly known as, and if I mention any of these, they're all the same thing, Astoria. Almost everybody still knows it as Astoria. ADL.NET Data Services, WCF Data Services, and then the protocol itself has been renamed, or has been named OData. So if I talk about OData, I'm actually, for the most part, I'm talking about that whole stack, the Microsoft stack. I'm not typically talking about the protocol itself, except when I am. You can make the determination when I'm not. So let's do WCF in three, WCF data services, or really WCF itself, in three simple steps. Keep it simple for everybody. All we're going to do is we're going to build in any framework model. We're going to add a WCF data service endpoint, and then we're going to set some service options. And we're good to go. And it's WCF. Or do you want to jump into some cool stuff real quick, and then I'll show you how to do it? Your choice. You want to see some? Watch this. Watch this. Okay. Show the code. So here's the deal. Where is my toolbar? Come on, share. There we go. They can see it?
Yep.
It's painting finally?
Well, I'm getting it slower than normal because I'm on a dialogue here.
Okay, I just want to make sure they can see that. Okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm just going to hit you in browser real quick. How many of you would love to be able to see your server event logs without having to go into the event viewer or go into the console and be able to see that via HTTP. Wouldn't that, you could secure it if you want to. It's totally up to you. You can do Windows authentication to be able to handle all this if you want to. But wouldn't it be cool if I could do something like that? Wouldn't it be cool if I could point to my server and do, show me all the entries? Now, I'm not hitting a relational database. I am hitting my event log to show you what's in my application log. That is the power of OData. I've just exposed to anything that understands HTTP to be able to get that event log and pull it in. You could take any data source that you have out there, whether it's relational or not, in a couple lines of code, get it up and running. And that is the beauty of WCF data services. In a nutshell, and I'll show you how quick you can get this done. OData is the protocol, but WCF data service is how we implement it in .NET. So all I did is I defined a log entry class, put some attributes on it, nothing real fancy, and the only reason that they're here is to actually map back to the Atom Pub stuff, so you get some pretty content is really what it's for. That's the only reason it's there. I didn't really have to do it in the first version. We didn't. Then I have my data source. This is actually where I go out and get the log entries. The log entries, I'm just reading from my log. What I'm doing is data services is, it can query anything that exposes anything that exposes iQueryable. So what we're doing here is when I ask for log entries, I'm getting the entries, I'm converting it to queryable, I'm doing an order by time generated so that it's showing in the order in that the time was generated. And does the get the entries, returns it back. Very, very, very simple. Nothing. I mean, this is the code. And the service itself, the code here is to set my security. I'm saying everybody can read. Now, if you wanted to secure it to specific membership groups and stuff, you can do that sort of stuff.
Done. Is log entry a data contract?
Log entry is not a...
The return type on that method, on that server.
We are returning this.
Yes.
So it is a data service endpoint, and we actually we define the key. Happens to be event ID. You have to return that, and we just do the property mapping. So this becomes a data contract way behind the scenes, but it's not really. So all I had to do is create that, add a WCF data service endpoint, .svc, and it generates the code behind. I'm setting I can also set the rules up here, same thing. I'm actually in ASP.NET at this point, so I can set all my membership stuff up if I really wanted to. It works. You can actually add this to an ASP.NET site that's already out there. You can handle all that on your own. And that is all you really had to do. What is special about this service endpoint, if I view the markup, is Peter showed you one of those factories. This is actually a data service host factory. The beautiful thing about, and we really didn't talk about it earlier, is if you as an enterprise have a standard configuration setup that you want to do, create a service factory. It came out in 3.5. Most people don't realize it. Both on the client and the server side, there are factories that you can do to be able to set this stuff up. And what this enables me to do is if you look in this web config, you will not see system.service model on in here. The only reason it's there is for the compatibility, but I did not define the endpoint. I did not define the bindings. I did not have to do any of that. My service endpoint is pre-configured. We know how that endpoint is supposed to behave. We have a pattern. Why have to put that all in the config? Can you put additional config information in here and override what's in the factory? Yes, it works out of the box. Don't have to worry about that. And this is how our product overrides all this stuff, is we have our own factory that actually goes out to our repository, reads that data, and injects it in so that we're picking all the bindings and configuration information from a central repository so that if they ever need to make a change to say security, they can do it without actually having to go out onto all the machines. But you should all be using factories to be able to do both on the host side and the client side. That is all the code that you needed. Now, the difference in this example compared to almost all the other data service examples that you will see, plus the one I'm going to demo, is almost all of them use a relational database and say, here's the data that you want to expose, go ahead and expose it. What I'm saying to you is, that is a very myopic way of viewing the world. Everything does not live in a relational database. There's a lot of data out there that is just as important. It just does not belong, it is not in a database. Microsoft is doing this more and more. Anybody here using SharePoint 2010 yet? No? All SharePoint 2010 lists are exposed this way as an OData source. They are using this. They're using data services to be able to publish all that. My company, Telago, the chief architect and some others, actually, anybody here using BizTalk? Couple? We OData-fied the BizTalk repository databases. So you can get to all the BizTalk databases, the admin databases and all that. All via OData. It's up on CodePlex. You can get that. Took the Jesus Rodriguez, I think 12 hours or so to get it all done. So that's the power of what we're trying to do here. I am probably, are we running low on time? We are a half hour in. Okay. All right.
If we stay with the schedule that we've been on, you got till 3:45.
Okay. So I'm about a half hour in.
You're at 3:22 right now.
Okay. Well, then let's move quick. Where is the what? Where is the OData? I got myself distracted. Here we go. Let's do it this way. So we showed Fiddler. So everybody is kind of sort of familiar with Fiddler. Fiddler. So in effect, this is OData. OData is, yes, sir. Oh.
I'm waiting for somebody to send me TV.
So OData is a combination of URL format that's up here, the return result set, and a couple other pieces. So here's the return result set, which is AtomPub with a couple extensions built in. With this, I can do something as simple as... So I showed you how to do it in the browser, and that's cool because everybody can get to it, but you're all .NET developers, and yeah, that's cool that it's a browser, but wouldn't it be cooler if I could actually use my favorite link against it? So let's do where... log such that log category equal, let me see if I can get the category out of here. Where's a category? Here's a category, application crashing event. So this is Fiddler. Everybody here know Fiddler? This is a LinkPad. Everybody here know LinkPad, love LinkPad? LinkPad has the newer version, a lot of people don't realize, has support for OData sources, so you can point it to an OData source and be able to do this. It would help if I finished that. So I can do that.
Does LinkPad have Visual Basic support done?
Yes, it has Visual. Yes, LinkPad has Visual Basic support. If you're doing anything with Link, you should be probably doing it in here, prototyping your stuff and going. And so it's generating all of that stuff on the fly for you. And if you're a .NET developer, when you want to, we all know system service reference. You can just add the service reference right here, put the URL in for the OData source, and it'll suck it in and actually create the client-side proxies for you. So in this particular case, I have a since we're running low on time, I'm not going to walk through all the code on this. Well, we have an NA framework model. I have my service. My service, when it creates it, it actually creates this data service here. I just have to put the context in and set the behaviors. In this particular case, I want update to everything. Fine, I can do that. And on the client side, I have tests here because I don't do console apps.
I hoid that.
So proxy equal new customer data service proxy dot AdventureWorks entities. You actually pass in a URI, not a string. That's the service endpoint. I can do proxies dot where color equals red, and I assert that it's greater than zero, and I can run right in here. I can run my test and my assert, and it will pass. So you've got Link on the .NET side. You don't need to know that it was OData on the other side. Actually,
should you use a console app, see?
Yeah, right. I didn't start it. My problem is I didn't, is I almost always work as IIS application. I don't work in Cassini typically. So let's try this again. But it will go out to the database, go make the call. for you. It kind of looks like entity framework, linked to entities. Kind of feels like linked to entities. They're getting it to be more like linked to entities. So your switch over from linked entities to data services is smaller now in the 4.0 version. The more complex, you will see a lot of the code will have this thing called setlink. You actually don't need setlink in 4.0 anymore. This is the older syntax, but in this particular case, I'm adding a category. Actually, I'm getting a error category out of the database and then creating a new error message, setting the category, and then setting the link and saving the changes. And it will run across the wire for you. So it's just running out, going to get it, and setting it. And if I jump over to Fiddler, because I've had it running, and I look at the latest, this is the XML that was sent over the wire to actually create that. And this was the response. So, and we're all using public standards to be able to do this stuff. Any questions on what we were doing? I know we're going through it pretty fast. Excuse me? Is there much uptick? There's so much uptick. IBM went out and created OData endpoints for WebSphere for their portals because it is that powerful. Once you see this, and you realize that OData, if you go to odata.org, it's an open standard. It's not just a Microsoft thing. It's really, you know, outside of the box. Any client side or server side can actually implement it. A pretty easy standard to work with. They've improved it a little bit over the little time that's been there. People worrying about paging and that sort of stuff. You can enforce server side paging rules. So like in the first case, you know, I went and got all the customers. You might want to restrict them and say, listen, you can't get everything. You can only get the first 50 rows and then do a next and a next and a next to get the result sets, and it works great. So you're throttling on the server side, even though you might want them, you might be requesting them to do it, you can actually throttle them on the server side. And you can do that both in the 4.0 version, and .NET 3.5 Service Pack 1 has a special patch, it's a data services patch that brings it up to date, so you can actually do that in 3.5 also. But you have to remember to install that service patch to be able to get that functionality in 3.5. Any other questions? Yes. And the ability of a common way to do inserts and updates. So it's not just syndication out, it's being able to take the information and put it back in too. So any endpoint, anybody can easily read it, which is the great thing, query, but you can also do updates to it. Now, you will obviously have got to lock that down behind security and all that sort of stuff, that you can do that, but there's no reason why you can't enable clients to be able to input data just as well as getting data out. So the output of which form? So, you want it in the browser. Okay, that's what I was talking about. So you want this. Actually, let's just do it this way. It is here. So one thing I did skip over, when you hit the endpoint, similar to what you happen on a WCF endpoint. It's going to give you a bunch of metadata. The metadata here is the collection of collections. So it's describing to you, these are the collections that I actually have that I'm exposing. You could say addresses. So in this particular case, I want the collection of addresses. And hit enter, and it'll actually bring you back all of the addresses. And here's what the XML looks like. If that's, I think that's what you're asking for. This is standard Atom Pub format. It also supports JSON. Any questions? Yes, you can easily add that into jQuery. There is a JavaScript library out on odata.org that will help you with OData. What it will not help you with is actually creating the queries themselves, the URLs. It expects you to give it the URL, and it handles all the other pieces that you would need to do. But the actual query, like a link to that URL format, they don't actually, there's nothing out there at the moment. There's no jQuery at the moment. A friend of mine, Chris Love, is actually working on that right now because it is important. It would be really nice to have, but it's just not there yet. And just like in Entity Framework, you can actually control, everything is lazy loaded. What the difference here is that in this particular case, if I didn't bring back the error category for an error message, what gets returned in the XML is not the ID of the category, but a URL to the resource that represents that category. And that's what I mean about hypertext media, is that ID column that's in the database, it is a foreign key to another table. In hypertext form, that is really a URL or URI to that resource in a different place. So behind the scenes, as long as it's all in your EF model, if you don't bring it back, that whatever entity that represents becomes a pointer, a URI, to where you can go and go get that information. Where I'm trying to get the team to do, and hopefully they'll get it out either in the next version or a service pack or something, is something that I call external foreign keys, which basically says, I know that this column is an ID to a resource, to a service in another place, whether it happens to be on the same database or in a different database or whatever, doesn't really matter, so that you can actually emit that as a link. And it would infinitely solve a lot of people's problems with Entity Framework and the scope of an EF model. Everybody tries to take one EF model and put all their tables into it, and that's really bad form. And you have 1,000 tables, and you try to put it in EF, it's just not going to work. So you have to define the scope. In data modeling terms, they're subject areas. I typically equate a subject area to a service. So a subject area would have all of its related tables, but it could still point to other subject areas outside of its subject area, but still in the same database. They should all just be emitted as links. And hopefully, with the help of everybody, hitting Microsoft and requesting this feature, it'll get into data services soon, other than later. Any other questions about data services? Because I really want to show Rhea. Sure. So link.
That would be nice.
So no, and there's a very good reason, because you should never do that. So the first thing when I teach link to people is I tell them don't write link like SQL. I know it looks like SQL, but you got to understand that it's not SQL. And unfortunately, they made it look just like SQL. So your natural tendency is to, I know this looks familiar, I'm going to write it the same way. So here's a good example. I want to get all the error messages for a specific category. How would you write that in SQL? You would do an inner join between the you would start with the messages table and add the categories table with a join and put a filter there. Unfortunately, Link doesn't work that way. You shouldn't be writing that way. It's inverse. You start with the category, and it has a collection of messages for that category. So it's inverted from what you would naturally think, because you're a SQL developer and you're just imposing your SQL context on Link because it looks like it. That's part of the reason why I switch over to the method syntax rather than the clause syntax, because it keeps me outside of that mindset.
That I was going to add, that you're talking about the syntactic sugar version of Link. I personally prefer the one you're using now, which I have to be honest and say I'm surprised to see you use, but that's the one I actually like better.
I use it this way on purpose because I fall into that.
Sure. Adele, we got an online question here that I can't answer. Ritesh is asking, did anything get changed between ADO.NET data services and WCF data services, or is it just a name?
Yes, it did get changed.
Is it something you can summarize?
Really quickly, was it really just a name change? Yes, it was really just a name change. But to get full OData support, it requires a service patch, and that's kind of where I'm saying that it added.
So the OData would be the easy answer to that?
Yes.
Okay.
So to get full OData fidelity, you have to put the patch in, and that kind of sort of makes it different than the original. And I will tell you, I work with the data platform team. There are some high-level executives who have come back to this division to lead this division because of OData. They think it is that much of a game changer. So on that note, I want to bring up the I'm going to close this and go to Rhea, because I don't want to skip the Rhea stuff, because it's just as important.
You got 5 minutes.
I know, I got 5 minutes. I'm trying to keep us so that we don't run any longer than we have.
I understand. You're eating into my time.
I know. You can thank Peter.
I got the end of session. These guys don't mind staying 5 minutes later, right? Yeah, they want to leave now.
So the thing with Rhea Services is Rhea Services was written in a different division. That's why it's so different than data services. Fortunately, the Rhea Services team has been relocated to the data platform group, so now there were going to be one big happy family, just like we did with Link to SQL and Link to Entities, right? Hopefully that we've learned from those mistakes, that they've learned from those mistakes, and they're going to make a cleaner switch. Unfortunately, one of the primary leads behind Rhea Services has left Microsoft, Brad Abrams. But Rhea is going to be an integral part to this whole process, so it's not going away. Don't worry about it. It's just going to take advantage of a lot of the OData stuff. And in the 4.0 version that I have right here, they've already kind of sort of added some OData support. You can expose an OData endpoint. The Silverlight side really isn't using it yet. What I'd like to be able to see these guys do is not just support OData, but like we said with jQuery, to be able to support MVC, ASP.NET MVC and jQuery, so we can have templates for that. So what's cool about this, and I don't really have time to walk through the code, but you add an EF model, just like we did before in the data services. You add this thing called a domain service. It's a special object type. And as a class, it's a template. You add that. What happens is magic and voodoo, meaning code gen, this proxy actually gets created on the Silverlight side, and then you can actually write your code to utilize it. So the main page here. There's my XAML. There's my code behind for the XAML. Here's our wire ups. the button-click events, and we're actually making the link query over the wire. It's sending. It's using a binary format. It's actually using a proprietary binary format. Not the rest of WCF doesn't use, unfortunately. That's its native protocol. You can switch that around if you want. You can open it up. They do support, RIA Services also does support ASP.NET, so although I am mentioning Silverlight because it's cool and I like Silverlight, there is ASP.NET love there too. Just not as much as it doesn't really work for me as where I'd like to be. I'm more of an MVC guy, not a web form guy. But there is stuff there. Hopefully, I know we're getting more support on the jQuery side. Microsoft has adopted it, so that should be cool. So we could actually just run this, and if you have data that you want to get out to a client very quickly, very easily, and you don't want to have to learn web, use something like RIA Services. It would work really well, and then you can actually translate this to the mobile platform in a much easier form, and I think that mobile is really where Silverlight's going to shine, especially with the Windows phone. There was a comment there? No? So the code, all I did is drag and drop, and it does everything for me. I really didn't have to write a lot of code to get this out to people because I had that open. That's why it's asking. It code gens that file every time you do a compile. The other thing that's a weirdness over here on the website, what's missing? What have we been talking about the whole time today? An SVC file. There's no SVC file here. It even does that on the fly for you. So it creates the SVC, creates the endpoints, it wires it up. It's very, very tightly coupled. Probably not time it. I will tell you that the RIA services is not the area that I've been focused in on. But we could hopefully get back to you on that. So let's switch back to the slides and let's just go through the slides real quick. Come on. Jump the full screen. So we did that in WCF data services in three easy steps. I said data service clients, we have plenty of them. There's actually an OData Explorer that's actually in Silverlight. Excel 2010 is also a consumer of OData, as is this thing called Power Pivot, which is just a killer application. We can go on and on, or I can go on and on about Power Pivot and how that's going to change the business intelligence world. Plenty of client-side libraries, JavaScript, PHP, Windows Phone 7 series, obviously. iPhone with Objective-C and, of course, .NET.
Hey, Don, there's a question online. The last project type you had open that demo code, what type of project was that?
Open up a Silverlight project. It will create both the web and the Silverlight code, and all you got to do is add the EDMX, then add the data service template, and template type, and it'll automatically wire that up for you. So it's that simple.
And comment from the audience, forget to check off RIA services on that.
Yeah, you got to check off RIA, sorry. It is that simple. Forms, let's cover that. Lots of code gen. Oh, yeah. My favorite slide. Kind of boils it down what Miguel was saying in my philosophy about messaging. Business classes don't equal message classes. If you're trying to fax a cat, you're doing it wrong. You can't fax a cat. It's impossible to fax a cat. You can fax a facsimile of a cat, but you don't fax the cat. And so whenever you're working with business services and domain services, please remember that. The reason why I put that in there is because when most people do RIA, because there's so much code gen for them, they kind of forget this. And one of the things that bugs me is they call it domain services because it's really from the sober light point of view, it kind of muddies the waters. You don't really realize that you're talking to a service endpoint, a domain service endpoint, and it almost makes you feel as though you're working with all client-side code. So because everything is named, there is a proxy, and it's all there, and it's all doing it right, but you have to remember that. So please, can't fax the cat. We did that. Data operations are to query, update, insert, delete. Obviously, it's RESTful, and we got invoke and named update, so you can do some custom stuff. So when you feel like not being so RESTful and using some other verbs, you can. And then we have we add the query methods, and we can actually put the business logic in. So on the server side, this code will actually be running, not on the client side, but it's so easy to mistake that because you've got those two projects and they're so tightly coupled. The other really great thing about RIA services is this whole validation routine. There's lots of really cool declarative validation that's happening. There's so much so that they're working on a standard way of exposing that so that I would hope that at some point in time we could actually pull that into OData itself and actually have some declarative validation rules that go to the client so that they know what they're supposed to be checking, that the server will check for them, but as a client, you should be checking before you send it. That'd be really cool, and I know that you're trying to work on stuff like that. Whether it happens, I don't know. There's authentication and authorization. Obviously, you know, it's going to be doing the simple basic auth, and they do web form auth in RIA and Windows NT. They have very, and when you're doing Silverlight, you're here a model view, view model. So they have the presentation models built in, and they kind of show you how to do transactions. They're not transactions the way that Miguel was saying, but they still are. You definitely have some transaction support. So then, just to real quick finish up, data services versus RIA services, because I get this all the time. The goal on the client side. We want cross-platform for data services. RIA is asking that in Silverlight. Did I?
Yeah.
Sliver. Yeah, that's cool. Coupling. Data services were designed to be loose. RIA, it's tightly coupled. That's what I was talking about. When you're writing that code, it's making you think that it's all one, but it's really two different sides, but they all get delivered together. UI design, there's none on data services because it's all about the data, right? What else is important? You don't need a pretty UI. RIA services, obviously, we got ASP.NET and Silverlight support. Message format on OData service, on data services, OData. On RIA, they support SOAP out of the box. It's a binary. Also support JSON. Also support an XML version of SOAP. And with the 4.0, they've added the OData support on the services side. Discoverability is built right into data services. Unfortunately, RIA services, it is not. It's really only discoverable for, it's just not. And then for WCF, this is important. Server-side only for WCF. So that code, the proxy that you get generated, that gets generated from service ref on the OData side, so the client-side proxy. Does not use WCF at all. Does not use the WCF client proxy stuff at all. Hopefully they'll fix that. At the moment, it doesn't. And actually, the code for it is actually on CodePlex. So I'm assuming they're going someplace else if they've open sourced that. Don't know for sure, but they've open sourced it. So I wouldn't be surprised if they're going someplace else with that. On the RIA services side, you got WCF on both the server and the client side, and this sort of stuff is important for when you need to be able to get beyond. So we've created, for one of my clients, we created an OData service, and we actually implemented a Windows Identity Framework for them. So the OData as service endpoints are actually protected via WIF, and that works out great. That doesn't come out of the box. Maybe at some time we'll release that, but we haven't yet. Any other questions? I know we flew through this trying to keep, I know we're over, but. if you were building things in a SOAP mindset, I will tell you that you probably want to do it a different way. REST is much more simple or much more easier. You only got four verbs to work with, so you're probably going to want to rewrite it. If you want to use this, your stuff as REST, you go WCF REST way, not these services. These services, the data services, RIA services, were built and designed to start from the beginning and go forward.